To our first speaker, I consider him a good friend, Wale.
Thank you.
My name is Wale, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Wale.
And I'd like to thank my higher power for allowing me to be here today. And I'm going to follow instructions and read the speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery. Oh, well, that's it for me. Which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support NA groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying a message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it is like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Well, that was a new one. So, if a person wasn't already nervous, that probably would shake them up a little bit. So, my story, as I remember it, I came here. I grew up in New York and New Jersey. I grew up to an addictive family. Using was a way of life. I grew up watching it, seeing it. I never knew there was anything wrong with it. I thought everybody who did not use, it was something wrong with them. So, but I kept finding myself in trouble. I grew up all through high school. I started selling drugs probably at the age of 11 or 12. And I used throughout my years until I came here. And I know that I always try to escape my reality. I never really liked what I saw. And I always wanted something more, but I didn't know how to get it. So I went to school for all 4 years of high school. I sold drugs, played backgammon, went to all the lunch periods, study halls. I don't even know how I stayed. I graduated from the eighth grade with 3 E's and 2 D's. They really wanted me the hell out of there. And in high school, they let me come, even though they would come and get me. They sent me to co-ed, which is a place where they send you for half a day to learn a trade because they know you wasn't going to amount to nothing. And the principal used to give me money. Now, I've been caught selling. They used to come and get me off the co-ed bus by name, the police would. It was the police. There's some people here from New Jersey named Starsky and Hutch. And they would come and just ask for me by name and take me off the bus. And sure enough, I was loaded with shit. So I remember my mother telling me, "I'm not coming to get you no more." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because you don't know how to hustle." She said, "You're not good at it, son." She, you know, when we was 11, she took me to Jamaica. I thought we was going on a trip. Come to find out, we brought back 90 pounds of weed. So she said, she's been hustling all her life. I ain't never been caught. And here I am. I ain't got 16 yet. I've been caught 5 times. She said, there's a message in that. So, but I wasn't listening to her. What'd she know? So I continued to get caught. And anyway, I could have even, people have been taking, God, my high power been watching over me for so long. And people have been watching over me. And I could have even graduated high school. I went to the prom and everything. I was clean as a mug. Had a bag full of box and an orchid thing. I had weed, selling weed in the thing. And after the prom, I didn't go back to school. Didn't take not one final. So, you know, I thought it was over after the prom. So I'm trying to tell you that I had distorted thinking way before I got here. You understand? And so it dawned on me after doing my thing, you know, I drove around in a 2-door Fleetwood Cadillac, 1980, and, you know, things were just, it was good. You know what I'm saying? So the highs was real high. And then I woke up, I was 20. I ain't have nothing. And my little girlfriend had went away to college. She was the homecoming queen for her school, and I escorted her, but she went away to the University of Miami and left me. And I was all alone. So I came up with an escape route. I went into the military. I went back. First, see, when you come up with a plan, first you got to put the plan together. So I had to go back, get an adult high school diploma, because I wasn't stupid. I just didn't go. And I went back and did that, and I took the test, and I made it. And they said, well, you can be a couple of different things, a truck driver, a cook, or something else. But I couldn't be nothing, you know, my score wasn't that high. So I had to. So I went in as a cook, and that was my escape route. I thought my whole life was going to change. I gave away all my stuff. I was going to go wear a uniform, and I was going to be different. I wasn't going to be Waleed. I was going to be different. I was going to be Benny. And so I went to, I think they're going to see me on the other side of the world. They sent me down to Fort Dix. People that don't know, that's right down Turnpike, exit 7A, exit 7. And so I boot camp, you know, I did my thing, and, you know, but it wasn't long right in boot camp. I was drinking wine, smoking weed, and, you know what I mean? Really, I was still the same person. I barely graduated by the skin of my teeth. I laughed at everybody. Everything was funny, you know. So, and then I said, okay, they're going to send me to AIT where you learn your trade. I think I'm going on the other side of the world. They kept me right there at Fort Dix. They started letting me go home, so I was bringing back packages. So, you know, things had not changed. So eventually they sent me, I'm going away now. I graduated from there. I'm going away, and they must be sending me to California somewhere. They sent me to Fort Bragg. That is not far enough away from Jersey, believe me, or New York. So I went down there, and I started doing the same thing. Nothing had changed. So at the end of that, I wound up selling package to CID, which is undercover police. And then I knew they had me, but they still couldn't get me, so I escaped. I ETS'd in Germany. Thought, you know, I got out on their ass again. They couldn't get me. And in October in Germany in 87, they came and they locked me up for selling drugs in North Carolina in 85. 2 years later in another country. So there's highs and lows. And I went to prison. They sent me to Mannheim, Germany, to prison. My wife was 7 months pregnant, and I left her there in Germany. And eventually they shackled me out like, what's that man named? They used to eat people. Yeah, they gave me the Hannibal Lecter escort to Fort Riley, Kansas. But my high power was still working on me because I had 2 sentences with 35 years each. He allowed me to bargain them down to 10 months, up to 2 years. Anything over 2 years, you go to Leavenworth. So I just missed Leavenworth by that much. And for real, he saved me because I was drinking. They didn't have no coke over there, thank God. But they had a lot of liquor. So before, I always drank a lot of liquor, but I had all kind of chemicals in me so I could balance it out. After I took the chemicals out, I was a fall-down damn drunk. Shit was disgusting. It was disgusting. You know, cool as I was, the shit was ugly. So, so for real, and I used to drive. I drive real fast, and they got an Autobahn with no speed limit. So I would find myself going 95 miles an hour backwards. You know, I would come out the club, and it'd be a blizzard. I'd get in my car and pull off. No defrost, no nothing. So I was crazy, I'm telling you. By me making out of there, I would run right into, you're supposed to make a left or a right, I'd go straight. I'd be, you know, I'd be doing my thing, talking or whatever, and not even paying attention, just driving the shit. So, you know, just that I made it out of there alive is a blessing, you know. So anyway, after I came out, my wife asked me, don't hustle no more. She thought that was the problem. Because neither one of us, we didn't know nothing about addiction. I still had no clue that I was, you know, that I had a problem. I thought I was having fun. So, you know, I never really knew anything about anything social. I only had one purpose, is to get fucked up. That's the only thing I ever aspired to do. I really, you know, you could put me on an island with all the drugs and a couple of women, I'd be good. Somebody caught that, huh? So that's another part of the disease. Okay. Anyway. Ultimately, I got home back to New Jersey, my mother was in recovery. You know, she didn't tell me about that shit. You know, but she... I came back, she was in recovery, and my wife, me and my wife lived with my mother because I was too trifling to get my own place. And eventually, I would not come home. I would get paid on Friday. Plus, I got a dishonorable discharge. Let me share that. I got a dishonorable discharge as a result of my court-martial in the United States Army. And they told you, once you get a dishonorable discharge, you can't amount to nothing. You might as well just give up right then. Right? So I came out, I got a good job with the... University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. And so I always proved them wrong. No matter what nobody said about me, I always would do something to prove them wrong. And I was succeeding. As a matter of fact, I got two good jobs, 2 8-hour jobs, because my wife didn't find one, so I took one for her. Shit. So I would take one, and then my disease said, well, give her that one check and go flip the other one. I said, that sounded like a good idea to me. You know, and I ran that by her. Not that it really mattered, you know, because her opinion really didn't matter at that time. So anyway, I wound up starting the same cycle all over again. And at the end of that, my mother told her she should leave me because I wasn't going to change if she stayed. And she listened to it. You believe that shit? So my wife had left me, which down the road proved to be a trend. And I'm going to be slipping shit in every now and then. You got to catch up. So at the end for me, the low was I was home on Thanksgiving Day after a 3 or 4 day binge. I still had money in the bank, and I was home alone. Was nobody else there. It was no turkey smell, and I felt like the Omega Man. The Omega Man is from a 1972 movie with Charlton Heston, The Last Man on Earth. Some of y'all might be old enough to remember that joint. And that's how I felt. So I came down here. My brother had 3 years. He let me sleep for the weekend. He took me to St. Luke's on a Monday night in 1988. And I didn't go to treatment. I came right into the rooms. And I've been detoxing and recovering here ever since. You know, and I've had extreme highs and devastating lows. Some people probably would have counted me out on a couple of them lows. But the highs, I'm going to tell you about the highs real quick, is that I came here, I told you I had a dishonorable discharge. I really didn't want to work. I didn't even want to go fill out the applications. It was a lady named Sheila Cherry that took me around in her car with her gas and sat in there while I filled out applications that I didn't want to fill out. Now imagine what the hell she felt. Now, if I ain't want to do it, and she's doing something for me that I didn't even want to do for myself. So that was powerful in itself. And y'all told me that y'all would love me until I learned how to love myself. Y'all told me y'all would help me if I just asked. So I was, you know, I'm one of them intellectual show me type dudes. So I would ask. You know what I mean? I go to people talking about, I live in Maryland. Can I get a ride home? You know what I mean? I got Fonzo like that one night at the dance. I don't even know my way to Maryland. Okay? We run around lost trying to get me home. So I would ask. So if you hear somebody share that about they willing to help, ask their ass. You know what I mean? So it's about investigation, observation, investigation. You ain't going to know until you ask. So I utilize those. You know what I mean? I believe what y'all was saying to me. My first meeting was a guy, and he's still here today, thank God, and his story was nothing like mine. Nothing. You know what I mean? He shared some shit. I was like, damn. But he shared, in his sharing, I heard, with my little ability to hear at that time, I heard how he felt at the end. And it was identical to the way I felt at the end. And that's what has been holding me here ever since, is that feeling that I had at the end that I never want to experience again. And even with all of those that I've been through, I have not been alone. And one reason I've not been alone is because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous and my ability to utilize it when I need to, which is mostly all the time. But I'm telling you, if you don't have the ability to reach out and ask for help, you're going to find yourself by yourself in a position that you can't get out by yourself. So my ability to reach out and expose myself in front of everybody has been my greatest asset. So, you know, even though it may appear to be a low, it may appear to be embarrassing, but when I'm in my weakest point is when I'm at my greatest ability. You know, so I wind up getting a job, and, you know, I went from one thing to another. And I remember at 30 days, I felt so good. The cloud was so pink and thick. I was ready to go back to Jersey because I had to show somebody. And everybody in the meetings told me, Wally, don't go. They called me Ricky at the time, too. And they said, Ricky, don't go. But I couldn't listen. I had to go. And sure enough, I was in crack houses with the damn smoke blowing out with my blue book. I was warding off spirits and shit, and I was spitting out all 30 days worth of knowledge that I had. I was spitting that stuff out, Jack. I was good at 30 days, too. Telling you. And I went and going to make a knife step to my wife, you know what I mean? And when she spit that shit back at me, tell my, move to D.C., was you crazy? You know, before the end of the day, I was telling her, pussy wasn't good, no way. You know what I mean? That, see, because, you know, I can't take
rejection
and truth and all that stuff. Only thing I could work with was retaliation. The fuck you talking to? You know what I mean? So I tore in her ass and made the situation five times worse than it was before I got there. That's usually what I do. I blow situations out of proportion and blow them up. And then when I go back and repair them 5 minutes later, and they're irreparable. So anyway, and I wound up getting a job. I worked at Chuck E. Cheese. I went to Chuck E. Cheese University. How about that shit? Only university I ever really went to. You know what I mean? I dressed up in the mouse suit. That's right. But that was a high. That was a high. That was not a low. You understand? I was proud. Man, look. Look, man, I'm telling you. And I had a little daughter. And, I couldn't. It's really like service here. It's like service. I'm going to talk about service because service is the only high that I really get at this stage in my recovery in my life. Without service, I really would disappear. I wouldn't even come. A lot of days, I don't come for me. You know what I'm saying? Just the thought that has been embedded in my mind of helping somebody else allows me to help myself. Without that, I'm so selfish and self-centered that it wouldn't even be necessary. Because I know every goddamn thing. I can do everything. It ain't much I can't do for real. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times I don't talk like that in meetings. I usually talk about all the shit is wrong with me. And I'm tell you why I do that. Because the lows, I'm telling you, the lows is what keep me grounded. Because I got a lot of highs. So if I came in and told you, but all the materialistic, you know, my Lexus, I love my Lexus. I don't give a fuck what nobody said. But it don't keep me happy. It don't keep me warm. It don't do none of them things. But I like it. Shit. And I be saying, if shit get rough, I'm going to trade it in. I'm going to go blow it up. I'm going to do this. You know, because I got an old one too, but I don't like the old one. I don't give a So, you know, but materialistic thing, I like nice stuff, and that's okay. But it ain't going to make me happy. You know what I mean? But I ain't going to give it away. I did that shit one time. I became Muslim. I gave away all my gold and shit. Soon as I became Baptist, I got that shit back. So, you know, man, I've been through so many different changes in 17 years I've been here. I couldn't even start to tell you. It ain't enough time in the day. Telling you. I've had so many highs. I'm talking about the kind of highs that make you just, if life ended today, I'd be satisfied. If I would have guessed what I would have got when I got here in 1988 to you know, what I would have achieved, I would have felt, I couldn't come nowhere near. You know, I just wanted to make $20,000 a year. I was good. You know. And, you know, I'm running two services for the VA hospital, which is a federal institution. I still got dishonorable discharge, though. And the kicker is, can't nobody mess with me about it because I put the truth down on the application. See, and the same thing applies in here. Once I set myself free by by revealing, you can't hurt me. So I already know that, you know, I'm not good in relationships. I already know that my wife left for another woman. You know, I already know that my current wife left and went with another woman, came back, and subject to leave any time now. So I already know that. So if you think you're telling on me, use a damn lie. Because can't nobody tell on me better than I can tell on myself. And I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't mad at nobody. At the end of the day, really, the only person that bothers me is me. If I could just shut my goddamn mouth sometime. That thing just do what it wanted. You know what I mean? I like the controllers up here. That thing just going. I ain't giving permission to say all that. So, you know. So, reading this statement, really, thank God I got Narcotics Anonymous embedded in me is the only reason that I can abide by that. So, you can't share what you don't have. So, reading that really, to me, is a waste of damn time. But somebody voted on it, so it is. So, I'm, look, a lot of times, I'm usually against most shit that happens. I'm telling you, I'm contrary to just about everything. But the bottom line is, I go along with what the end decision is. I can agree, disagree without being disagreeable. And I learned that in here, because before I would have took my damn ball and left. I'd have been gone, all that bullshit in here. But the bullshit is saving lives. Because a lot of people say, oh, the program is, it ain't the program. It's all us with our bullshit. So you got to wade through the bullshit to get the prize. The prize is the freedom. It's some freedoms. And I mean, freedoms is all different shapes and sizes to me. It's all different kinds of freedoms. Now, what your freedom is that you're looking for, I don't know. So I'm free from the active addiction of drugs, but I got a lot of other things I'm imprisoned by. My disease runs deep. You know what I'm saying? If it was left up to me, excluding, no, let me not say that. See, I had to pull out my back, Jack. Woo! That might have caused the problem. Because everybody's ability to understand is different.
That's right.
We got all levels of recovery out there. And I'm looking, and I know, but not just by the age variations. You understand? You got clean time variations. And I'm like, I always use the analogy of the duck. And there's a lot of other ducks sitting out there. We look smooth on top of the water, but we paddling like a motherfucker underneath. And I said I wasn't going to curse, but that's out the window. So, but I'm spiritually full. Now, what's the paradox in that? You're spiritually full, but in religion, you're not supposed to curse. So I ain't religious then. But I'm spiritually full. My spirit is full. And if anything can reach you, it will be my spirit, not even my words. So if you can't understand what I'm saying, feel what I'm feeling. I'm feeling Narcotics Anonymous. I'm feeling life. I'm feeling recovery. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling that no matter what, I don't have to use. No matter how high to high or how low to low. You understand? I done been in valleys that most of y'all wouldn't get out of. With help, you wouldn't get out. So, but some of you would. So, you know, I can't fit in everybody else's shoes. Do what you do. Recover how you recover. I don't know how you need to recover. I know you need not to use drugs, that is. Because I don't know what else you might need to use to stop from using drugs. So I ain't one of them people tell you don't use nothing, man. I use what I need to use to get to where I need to get. Now, I like to do it better. My sponsor would like for me to do better. He wanted me to write and shit. I said, I don't feel like it right now. I want to use what the hell I'm using. It feels better. You know, I'll justify just about anything. You know what I'm saying? And my justification is, as long as I tell the truth, that a person choose to participate, and it ain't right, but that's, you know, that's just where I am. Until I get somewhere else, you got to be where you are. You cannot think yourself into another existence. You got to exist where you are. So I don't fool myself into trying to be, come around talking like I'm somewhere, knowing I'm not. I'd rather tell you where I am and you can wish me into a better place. Sure, my sponsor wishes me other places all the time. But, and you know, he got a slick way of sliding that in there. You know, knowing damn well I'm up to something. He'll say shit like, you ain't doing this, is you? Yeah. You know damn well I was. So, but, okay, I got 5 whole minutes. So what would I tell you about these 5 minutes? So one of my highs is that I just been elected president of my son's PTA committee. See, and what that is for me is just like being elected chairperson of a convention, chairperson of a meeting, or any place else that I give service. It's just a form of service. But know who's happy about it? My son. And I've been really neglecting him, trying to hold together some shit that ain't supposed to be held together. You get some people know what I'm talking about. So, but it's easy to miss the prize. You know what I mean? And the prize usually is not no big thing. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, we're looking for highs that's going to be like a spiritual awakening. You know what I'm saying? When actually the highs come in small packages. It comes quietly. You know what I'm saying? And that's how God eases into my life. He comes quietly without a lot of noise. But I like noise. You know what I mean? I want some. I like shouting and, you know. I want to feel good all the time. That's my dilemma. I want to feel good all the time. I don't like pain. I don't want to learn nothing from pain, none of that. But that's how I do all the time. Even though I know I don't like it, I know I shouldn't do it, I still choose the way it is. Inevitably, it ain't going to be pain right away. It's going to be some pleasure at the beginning. But it's pain at the end. You know, and it's amazing how the greatest lows start with the highest highs. Like. Now, some of them don't go that fast. Some of them go. They got different levels, you know what I mean? You work your way down. But ultimately, you knew that person wasn't meant for you nowhere. And it's funny that most of my stuff revolves around relationships. My second, I've been married 3.5 times. Some people go real confused about the half piece, but some people know. I'm counting a Norman as a half, just to help y'all out. So, I said I ain't gonna do it no more. But again, you get married by acknowledging something out your mouth. So, as I told you, I don't control that thing well, so I don't know. I ain't gonna say what I ain't gonna do. Because I just don't know. Because in your attempt to be happy, I believe that is a good aspiration to do. And a lot of men are afraid of commitment and marriage. Well, you see, I just ain't what good at it, but I say, you know, nothing beat a failure but a try. So, but you know, as I continue on this process, you know, a lot is being revealed to me, even in the midst of all my madness. I'm recovering. I'm recovering from a lot of things. And the kicker about this process is that just when you think you've completed a process in something, it restarts itself. And the kicker is if you got clean time, especially, and you're in these rooms and you stop practicing revealing yourself, you stop practicing going to meetings, when it starts back up, you will be ill-equipped to deal with it. Well, you've done it before, but this time it comes at a greater strength, a greater velocity, and then my integrity has weakened. I got less integrity because all of the little bits of attacks that have been put on you, it weakens. Recovery weakens. Don't think just because you've been a good recovering addict for 10 years that in your 12th year you're going to be able to live off of that. Don't believe that. It's a lot of people with 13 and up years using because they're trying to rely on some recovery that they had at the beginning. So, you know, don't let your highs turn into your lows and you ain't got no response but to go. So, always be in combat mode. I'm always in combat mode against my disease. Even when it appears to be winning, I still ain't buying into that. You know what I'm saying? Just for today, it talked about if you was to ask somebody to come up to you and ask you if you were happy. That's what the book said today. What would you say? Well, I got all this, you know, I'm doing pretty swell. You know, but all of that does not equal recovery. All of that does not equal being happy, joyous, and free. You know what I'm saying? That ain't nothing. You can't buy that. It ain't even for sale. But what do? As soon as I get upset, I'm going to the mall. You understand? I'm going to try to trick somebody. Or I'm going to get tricked. Because some people wait for you to go through something. Yeah, they're going to try something. I already know they plotting on your ass there. So recovery is a wonderful place. Wonderful place. You know, only if I had to say anything before I leave here is that there is no way. There's so many ways to fail. And there's so many ways to succeed. It takes a long time to figure out the wisdom to know the difference. I could be failing thinking I'm succeeding. Just because it appears to be right. Everybody is telling me I'm doing good. When actually I'm doing bad. You know what I mean? It's so, the line is so thin sometimes that, you know, it's hard to differentiate. I knew that word. So, you know, and especially at my job, they call me Mr. Williams, and it looks like, you know, I'm on top of everything, you know, but I'm tricking the hell out of them. Tricking the hell out of them, okay? So, you know, a lot of times I'll be wondering when they're going to expose me. You know what I mean? But every time I get in a position when I need to step up, guess what? My high power steps up. So, and a lot of days, I take credit for everything. But every now and then, it'll dawn on me how wonderful, how great, how merciful my high power is. And at that moment, I'm able to see how high I could possibly go. Because I don't want to rely, I don't want to be obedient. I'm disobedient to the core. And if I would just follow my lead and do what I'm supposed to do, there's no telling what I could do. I'm rebellious. So, you know. But people don't give up on me. My sponsor don't give up on me. The people that love me don't give up on me. You know, and people, some people put people on pedestals. Don't put me up there. But if you do, when I mess up, put a cushion down there for me. Thank you. Thank you, let me share it.